against the big boxes. And one of the questions you wind up asking yourself, and I know this does touch a little bit upon some of our sponsors here, is can there possibly be enough people in that area to eat all of the food they're selling? I mean, just if you look at the supermarkets, the number of gigantic supermarkets.
There's three huge supermarkets within. You could almost throw a rock and hit them.
I mean, they're gigantic supermarkets, and then there are a couple more supermarkets too after that. I think. I mean, there's, you know, who's going to eat all that food? I mean, there's just, I mean, that's in Bristol. Bristol's not that big a town. Who's going to eat all that food?
Yeah.
Are people like coming from?
They must be coming from out of town.
From the Sudan,
far and wide, I would say.
You know, really, people must come from the Congo to shop at Bristol or something. It's one thing after another,
and every fast food place you can imagine.
Right. It is impressive. And
that would not be a word I would have used.
Yeah.
I travel that road almost every day to an extent, and impressive never really came to mind.
Well, what I was thinking as I was driving along there, I was thinking poetic thoughts because I was on my way to a poetic event. And so the first poetic thought I was thinking was that the only thing worth living for is love. And then the second poetic thought I was thinking was that at 49 years old, I know nothing about love. I realized that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I became impressed by how many things there are to distract you from love, as you drive along. How, you know, really, if you decided to go off in a different direction, there's just, like, so much stuff. There's just this incredible profusion of stuff. And then I had the final epiphany that I had was driving by a store that's called Amazing Adult Superstore.
Yep.
You know about the store?
I know where
it is. You've seen the store, right? Well, I was thinking about that because this is a store that sells things to aid you in the having of sex, or to enhance the having of sex, or whatever. But I was thinking about the term superstore because, you know, basically, if I understand what superstores are, like in connection with like the big supermarkets and stuff on Route 6, which are also superstores, they're things that they sell you things that ultimately are not germane to. In other words, like superstores in the grocery store, supermarket context, they wind up selling you stuff that has nothing to do with what you were there for in the first place, right?
Yeah, I'd say
so that I, you know, a sex superstore would have to like sell you rakes, you know.
Right.
They have to sell you stuff that doesn't have anything to do with sex. But then I thought about this some more, and I said,
rakes?
I thought about rakes, for example, or a raw bar or something like that.
Oh.
And then I realized there really isn't anything that could be safely relegated to the zone of. It can't possibly have any connection to sex. That was the final thing I thought about.
The adult superstore.
Yeah.
How far, just out of curiosity, how far did you travel on Route 6?
Until Route 6 no longer was full of big box crap.
What did you do once you got to that point? Which road did you turn off onto?
I took the road not taken.
Route 72.
Yeah, Route 72. Which I actually did have to go.
Which took you right through the middle of Harwin.
Yeah, I mean, my life was in peril. We have Dan and Bill. They have things to say.
All right. Dan, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Anyway, thanks for calling.
On a stick.
Joining us in a little while, well, we're going to talk to our colleague, our beautiful and sensuous colleague, Diane Smith, about her new book, which is called something. Somewhere in Connecticut. What it's called.
It's called what?
Hot and Sticky. Hot and Sticky with Diane Smith.
They sell it
at the Amazing Adult Superstore, actually.
It's in the window.
Hot and Sticky with Diane Smith is the name of the book. Ask for it by name, except no substitute. And then joining us to help us interview Diane, in case our attentions wander, and also to just to join us and to be around for a little while and read some of her poetry. Do you remember Emily Mattson, tormented young poet Emily Mattson? She was in here with Edward Albee one day. Remember the day Edward Albee was in here?
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
Then Emily Mattson was here and Edward Albee was giving her advice.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Telling her, you know, how much money to ask for her poems, stuff like that. Anyway, Emily will be coming here
very young, isn't she?
Well, to get himself out of one of his many legal scrapes, Mike Tyson has pleaded guilty once again, and he must perform 100 hours of community service, except that no one can figure out anything that Mike Tyson could ever do that would serve the community. So it's time for a Sport That's Wild event. What's he going to do, be a candy striper?
It's Dave.
Yep, Dave's the guy that everyone calls.
The collection of derelicts that have shown up in there just to look through the window.
Well, let me just say something. All right, Emily is a luminously beautiful young woman. I've known her since she was in high school, and she gets prettier every year. And she doesn't have a boyfriend right now, but she's not going out with anybody from this radio station, all right?
Look at that panel of losers in there. I mean,
that,
who would...
I, for, I forbid it, Emily. I forbid it. I don't care who asks you out here. I don't care if Mel Karmazin calls
you out. I'm not Mikey C.
I know, but none of you are going out with Emily, all right? Just forget about it. That's not going to happen. If some nice young man calls up during the next half hour that she's around here and I decide that he's appropriate and he's not a psycho killer, he can come in here and have a conversation with me first. And then maybe he can go out with
that. That would make me feel if I were her.
Well, I'm sort of in loco parentis here. You have to understand.
That would make me feel so much better knowing that you had screened the individual.
Yeah, but I've screened them to the extent that she's not going out with any of them. Any of the people who work with us? No, none of the producers.
That should have taken about 12 seconds to screen that. Look at that. Look at that collection. Look at it. The only thing you're missing. Oh, there's the other one. Okay, now you've got them all.
It looks like you've got a line for public vaccinations or something. I mean, it really looks like people lining up in front of a free clinic. It's disturbing. Would you have to go?
No.
And we have another
minute. We have the whole minute of fun, mirth, and merriment.
I want to ask you, do you feel some kind of need to write? Do you work on poems every day?
No.
No. It's actually, what is it called? What's the name of the poem? It's called something, something, Bloody Nose.
Tuesday, art class, Bloody Nose, 11:40 a.m.
All right, read another poem.
This poem is called...
I like barking orders.
You're unbelievable.
Read another poem. The thing is, like, these young creative people, they are just cosseted all the time, whereas I give them tough love, you know?
Thanks.
Yeah.
This poem is...
Oh, you're not reading it fast enough.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say that, actually, I thought I'd give her another extra second or two to collect herself.
It explores the connection between writer and audience.
All right. Is this the owl poem?
Yes.
All right. It's a good poem.
And thank you. Well, the title and the refrain in the poem come from...
What an owl sounds like.
Yes, the barred owl.
Mm-hmm.
Who cooks for you? In the darkness, I cannot see my hand. The owl's call resonates in the black amphitheater of soil and grasses like a man crying behind a closed door. He is out there in the woods, invisible as my hand, announcing his presence. Who cooks for you? And I am thinking of you beside me in the darkness, invisible as the owl, listening to me as naturally as the soft, hollow question dims and stutters. As known as the owl is known, despite the darkness and the quiet and the snug of time that yaws around us, urging, listen. This moment is the pebble under your tongue that you will never shake the taste of. The woods settle around us, an endless rum of branching columns in unruly Corinthian profusion. Who cooks for you? I imagine you stirring a pot on the stovetop, steam clouding your glasses. We all cook, begin the long, difficult process of feeding ourselves from the moment we are born, announcing our presence like owls with a lonely cry that carries through the darkness of womb into the bright, snarled forest where we begin to eat, to live, to listen, and to hold out our hands saying, this is for you.
Emily Massa. What the name of that poem again is?
Who cooks for you?
The Bard Owl says. See, this is another reason I don't want her to go out with anyone around here, because she's going to have to end up writing poems about... You know, as usual, you have not shaved or groomed yourself, you know.
I doubt that I shall ever see something as pathetic as Mikey C.
Or I'll just end up cooking for
something like that, you know.
Sure, exactly.
That would work, right?
Yeah. I don't want her to be reading poems about...
Oh, really nice. Really classy.
Did you make an obscene gesture?
So,
this is Emily Madsen. She's an award-winning poet. She's grew up around here, and she has overprotective parents. And that's a little joke.
See? What did I say? What did I say?
That's just a joke. They're not. They're fine. They're just models of sanity.
You won't say anything bad about your parents.
Bad. I can't help it. I just can't stop myself. And she's finished her sophomore year in Bryn Mawr, and she doesn't like any of the boys down there. She said you just haven't found the right boy yet.
That's right.
Yeah. But she's luminously beautiful, and we're not letting her go out with any of the guys up here.
I think that's a good plan. That sounds like a good plan to me.
But if you know a nice boy, you can call me, and I will privately screen
Would you need, like, a resume and stuff?
I would need resume. I would need...
references.
I would also need a recent physical. Maybe your most recent physical.
Physical?
Fingerprints.
yeah. Social security number, retinal scan, and definitely...
your most John Ashcroft?
Yeah, well, look, I just, you know, I'm going to want to need to see blood work.
That list of books you checked out from the library.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of good. So, do you want to read another poem?
I would love to.
Okay, read another poem.
I'm not gonna say.
Will you please?
All the sentimentality of a car accident.
She did ask.
Oh, I'm very fond of her.
Read another poem. Larry King.
Granite and Timex, and it's experimenting with writing from the point of view of an inanimate object.
Okay, you only have 2 minutes. Can you do it in 2 minutes?
I can do it in 2 minutes.
You're the best.
I met a noise the one day. She was wedged down close to me, looked like sea top without wind.
Well, it's been a fun visiting with you here today and making you uncomfortable and bringing up...
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I have to be... I can hardly
wait to come back.
Well, actually, we have people who wanted to even talk to her, so maybe we have to... Do we have time for them to talk to her now?
You'll have to stay
past the traffic. You can, two people want to say hello to you on the air or off the air or something like that. But Emily Mass has been reading her poems, and it's... And you'll be able to read her work when it gets published, which it hasn't right at the moment, but it will.
Much about what other people were thinking about it.
What does your thing turn out to be, if I may be so?
My thing is homeschooling my two guys right now.
Homeschooling your two kids?
Yeah.
Aren't you worried they're going to turn into nerds with no social skills?
Well, yeah, and then they could be like talk show radio hosts.
Very good.
Aren't we snarky? So that's what Bryn Mawr prepared you for, to make snarky comebacks.
I was snarkier before I went to Bryn Mawr. Tone me down a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I'm so undone by that remark that
I like this one.
I'm so
a lot.
Do you ever listen? Would you ordinarily be listening to this show? Do you listen to this show?
Yeah, I do listen quite a bit, actually.
Okay, so you're not just listening because Emily's on.
No, but I had to make a special point to listen. Yeah. I pulled my two boys away from a swimming pool so I could drive home and make this call.
Yeah.
Because I'm like one of five people without a cell phone.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you said, and also this year it's going to be an imaginary Christmas. And they went, yay, imaginary Christmas, yay! I'm always worried about homeschooling kids, that they're going to turn out like the Flanders kids on The Simpsons, which is a TV show that your kids will probably never see anyway.
No, they've seen The Simpsons.
Okay.
Only when we're in a hotel or something, but they've seen it.
And this is the first time you've ever called the show, right?
Yeah.
Well, we like you. You should call up again.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Sometimes we're making fun of homeschooling.
Oh, I don't mind that. I actually really like your autistic shtick because I think that is pretty cool.
Can we just put this... I don't have an autistic shtick. It has sometimes been suggested that I fall somewhere within the autism spectrum.
You definitely do. I've seen you, and you definitely...
What do you mean you've seen... What the...
I love you, Anna.
First of all, what do you mean you've seen me? And second of all, what do you mean I definitely do?
Oh, you most definitely do, and it's like a cool thing. And I think, really honestly, though...
Where have you seen me?
I've seen you at Wild Oats, like, looking panic-stricken because people were trying to make eye contact with you.
Okay, well,
that was
Wild
him.
Oats.
Yeah. I can say that was him, definitely.
Well, the people at Wild Oats are psycho killers. Of course, I don't want them to... Of course, I don't want to make eye contact with
you. Panic-stricken look, thinking that people were trying to make eye contact with you. I, for example, was staring into space wondering where the heck my keys were.
Yeah, I remember you.
And you made eye contact with me, and you're like, and you had that, like, do I know her? Am I supposed to know her? Oh, my God, is she going to say hi to me? Look. And I was just, I just felt the, you know.
I'm never going out in public again. I wanted to say, all my stuff is coming in from Peapod from now on, just because of the conversation, all right?
Connecticut thanks you, Anna.
I'm ordering everything online
really. But honestly, I just want to say it's actually very cool that, like, you know, you're on air and you're open about all that stuff. And any of us who have any connection to any...